It's John Hanson here with you till 3 o'clock on Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And Mike Drabont joins us now from A. Traub & Associates. Mike, good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
We met Angel a couple weeks ago, one of your partners there. She does a lot of family law stuff. And I know that sometimes estate planning gets merged in with that. But generally speaking, what do you do at the firm?
So I'm the estates lawyer. So I do the estate planning. I do probate after someone has passed away, estate administration. I also deal with Medicaid planning for people going into long-term care, nursing homes, as well as guardianship of adults with disabilities.
Medicaid planning. I didn't even know that you would want a lawyer for something like that.
Yeah, well, because sometimes what you want to do is try to preserve some assets so that way you're not having to spend all of your money. Like if someone is going to be going into a nursing home at some point down the road, we want to do something to try and, you know, minimize how much actually has to get spent.
I see what you're saying. Okay, all right. How'd you get into this line of work?
Kind of fell into it after law school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked with someone. I had clerked for a solo practitioner, and I just liked the work. I liked the estates. I liked working directly with clients, and that's kind of how I found it.
Are you like someone that likes putting the pieces of a puzzle together?
I love it.
Okay, see, that's what I think about when I think of people that do estate planning, because there's a lot of specific details that you have to do, and if someone has X, Y, and Z, trying to figure out how that would maybe transfer to kids and others, it does seem like a complex puzzle in many ways.
It is a lot of times, because we're talking about assets and what kind of assets they have and how it might be taxed and things like that, and trying to, you know, create a plan that's going to pass it down the generation or pass it to whoever people want it to go to.
Well, I imagine also it's just one of those areas of law that we may not be around for the point where it has to be dealt with, but we're all going to leave this earth, breaking news, and at some point what we have gets passed somewhere, and it's important to figure out where that is, right?
Of course. Yep.
Absolutely. Why don't people do it more often? I'm sure you ask yourself this all the time.
Yeah, we see people all the time who don't have any kind of plan put together, and a lot of people, it's just procrastination,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people just sometimes there's a mental block of like dealing with your own death,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes people just like it's hard for them to think about. And so a lot of times they just avoid it,
mm-hmm.
instead of actually talking about it.
I imagine there's also people that at a certain age, they think, well, I don't need this yet. Like I don't have much. Right.
Right.
And then they wake up one day and they realize that they have a lot more and they've just put it off so long that then it feels insurmountable to get it tackled. I imagine you've seen it all and can say squarely that it's not insurmountable. Anyone can come to you and you can figure something out for
totally.
Them.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we get so many stories of wealthy celebrities who have no excuse not to have hired a lawyer at some point to figure out their estates. And they don't. And it ends up being news about where it's going or the drama between family members. And I feel like while that's unfortunate for them and their people that they are trying to pass their estates to, they can provide a lesson for the rest of us that no one is immune to not having a plan together, and a reminder that we all should do it.
Right. Absolutely. And there's countless examples out there that show a lot of problems that people had or that they didn't address. And for people who had really complex estates, but even for just more simple people, like with people with young kids and designated who your guardian is going to be if something happens to both parents, you know, just basic stuff like that that people just ignore and never get to.
I was reading the sad story that you sent along. I didn't realize Jay Leno's wife was in mental decline. I think she has dementia issues.
Yes.
In her late 70s. And he had to go to court to do what recently?
So he filed for conservatorship.
Okay.
Which in Illinois, we just call it guardianship of the estate. Other states use the term conservatorship. So it's basically to gain access or control over someone's finances and their assets. And the reason that Jay did it was because they wanted to properly execute their estate plan so that the wife's assets could also pass to whoever they wanted it to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So they were probably going to be executing some types of trusts under the conservatorship case.
So he needed it because they were about to go through the process of estate planning themselves.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Okay, because I was wondering, I'm like, if you have a spouse who's having issues with dementia, do most people need one of these? Or do most people with more maybe less complex estates They're fine without one of these because the finances are already shared together.
Yeah, well, and usually what we're doing is when we do estate planning, we're executing certain documents like powers of attorney for healthcare, powers of attorney for property that help to try and avoid having to go through conservatorship or guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the whole purpose of it. So that way, if you had all those things in place, you don't necessarily need to go through the court system to have to execute a plan.
Right. But someone listening right now that maybe already has their estate plan all settled, and their husband or wife is having some mental issues or going through some dementia issues, that doesn't mean everyone needs to rush and get a conservatorship, right?
Correct.
Okay, or a guardianship here in Illinois.
Yep.
Okay. I know that you're comfortable taking calls, right? Or
sure.
Some text. 312-981-7200 is our phone number because this gets, we're already getting text messages about trusts, wills, the differences, all that. And we always want to make sure people have answers, at least some guidance on some ideas of where they could go. Also want to make sure people, if they're getting out of the car, can reach you. What's the best way people can reach you, Mike?
So either by phone, 630-426-0196.
Hold on, say that slowly. I got to type that. 630-426-0196. Online too?
Yes, our website is atclaw.com.
atclaw.com. Phone line's already lighting up. Get on the text line too. We'll do all that after the news on WGN. Hey, Traub and Associates, you ready to take some calls and questions about estate planning?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
We'll do a text here first. 773, estate question. If I have a will, do I need a trust? Does a trust protect my wishes better than a will? Let's just stop right there. There's a part two to this. But generally speaking, what do you think?
So it really depends on what kind of assets the person has. So if you own real estate or you have a significant amount of assets, oftentimes a trust is a better option because what we're trying to do usually is avoiding having to go through the probate court process after someone dies. And having a will by itself does not avoid probate. And that's something that people are mistaken about.
Probate is a court process where they essentially divvy everything up and send it out and make sure that if you owed anyone money, that they get paid too, right?
Yep. It's the court-supervised administration of your estate when you die, and creditors have a chance to file claims against your estate to get paid.
Okay. Trust costs a little bit more on the front end usually?
Yep.
Okay. And then part two. Technically, a person who is considered family, who I don't want to receive anything, most likely will put up a fuss. They probably will. I don't want to leave problems for my loved ones. Thank you. Can either one of those mechanisms, wills or trusts, write out people that you don't want?
They both can, absolutely. So you could do that in either instrument. There are sometimes the trust is the preferred route because, again, then we're not in probate and it's not, because probate's all public record. So your business is out there.
Oh, wow,
for
yeah.
Everybody to see. So a lot of people want to avoid that, and it's a little cleaner if you do it through a trust usually.
So if you really don't like one of your kids, but you don't want everyone to know that you didn't like them, get a trust.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
But if you want everyone to know how much you disliked your middle child, then you can go ahead and do it in a will. I'm just joking, of course. Let's go to Jay. Hey, Jay, you're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Hi. I heard the two of you talking about Jay Leno's problem. And actually, I guess what I'm asking is a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is coming down with dementia.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jay.
And what I did was I set up a trust for her, a trust for me. We have a substantial estate, and I have power of attorney for both property and medical. And if I go first, somebody else is named and stepped in. Now, is that good enough, or do I eventually be going to a conservatorship?
So it sounds like you took all the right steps.
Yep.
I mean, you put all the documents in place. Those are like the basic documents, the ones that you just listed for an estate plan. So it sounds like you've done everything correctly. And again, the reason we do all that planning is to avoid having to go through guardianship. So that way no one is having to actually petition the court if you or your spouse become incapacitated.
So it sounds like you did everything right, Jay. I think what Jay Leno was doing, the conservatorship, was because they hadn't set up their estate plan yet, and Jay Leno kind of needed that conservatorship to make those decisions with his wife.
Exactly right. So either they hadn't set it up, or they hadn't finished it.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Even after you go through all this, you still second guess yourself.
Oh, I can't even imagine, Jay. And kudos to you for thinking about it and going through this process. I know it's difficult, and seems like you got everything lined up as best you can, okay?
I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jay. Have a good one. Take care.
Thank you.
Let's go to John. John's got a question. Hey, John, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon, guys. So I am 64, widowed, one child, created a trust last year, and the question came as how to title the brokerage and IRA accounts that I want to put into the trust. So I was told that the IRA account should have a beneficiary of my son, but not be put into the...
Well, he just lost John. I hope he's listening on the radio. Seemed like they said to name a beneficiary in the IRA, but not roll that into the trust. Can you explain what that means a little bit?
Sure. So if someone has a brokerage account, just an investment account, often that's the kind of asset that we will retitle into the trust. So the trust will be the named owner. But when it comes to IRAs, 401ks, things like that, you want to have a beneficiary set up. And usually, oftentimes, you can just name the person themselves as the beneficiary. We're not usually funneling it through the trust, except in certain situations where there's tax issues, disability issues, person with can't handle their own finance as well, things like that.
So by just naming the beneficiary on the Roth or on the 401k or the IRA, does it enough? You don't have to roll that in and rename it as an asset, like your house you put in the trust's name, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct. That's exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. So it seems like John's in good shape.
It sounds like it.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, looks like you don't even need to be here, Mike. Everyone's already got everything settled away. Yeah. Now let's go to Wynn now. Hi, Wynn. How are you?
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon to you, and thank you. Just a quick question. It's a basic kind of I'm trying to basically understand this. In the case of a will, by going through probate, there's a certain tax rate that the government gets a share of a percentage of the property, correct?
Does the government take a percentage of the property for everyone, or is it only certain amounts, Mike?
So there's taxable estates. So there's an estate tax that hits at certain limits, depending on how much your estate is worth when you die.
We're talking millions of dollars, though,
correct,
right?
Correct. The Illinois exemption is $4
million. $4 million.
So it's over $4 million.
And federal's like 12?
Federal's over 13. So, yeah, it's pretty high.
So a lot of estates, if you have a will, there's not a piece taken off for the government, for the vast majority of people, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, does that kind of clear that up, Wynn? Or do you have a part two to your question?
Yeah, thanks for clearing it up. But so if I go the route of a trust, does that obviate that
great question.
Taxation rate?
So Wynn wants to know, if you do it a trust instead, and let's say you are above those thresholds, does that hide you from that payment?
Right. So the taxation is generally the same. Whether you have a will or trust, your estate is calculated and estimated as far as what it's worth, whether it's in a will or a trust.
Doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter usually, except for certain types of trusts that are more usually not set up for the average person.
Okay. Yeah. You're talking about like really
much more
people.
Complex situations.
Okay. Yeah. So generally speaking, Wynn, and you can always call and ask more specific questions. We'll give out Mike's number again. Is that, you know, unless you have an estate over $4 million, you're not getting taxed statewide. If you don't have it over $11 or $12 million, I'll have to look up the exact number, you're not getting taxed federally. But neither of the vehicles is a way to avoid that, generally speaking. Okay, Wynn?
Oh, thank you. You answered my question. And the final word is the government always gets his pound of flesh, doesn't it?
It does. I was going to say, will or a trust, they're going to get what they're going to get.
Death and taxes.
Yeah, there you go. 312-981-7200. What's the process for transferring a title, a car title, after someone passes? That's what the 630 wants to know.
So if someone has a small estate, in Illinois law, that's under $100,000. We can use what's called the small estate affidavit to transfer it with the Secretary of State. If someone's estate is going through probate, then you need to get the letters of office from the court, and then that's what you would take to the Secretary of State to have the title reissued.
Most people don't do that with a car, though, do they?
So, the car has to be transferred somehow.
Okay.
After someone dies, unless there's a joint owner on it.
Fair. Like,
so if it's between
spouses. So it's going to transfer to someone somewhere.
Yep.
So you can go through this way, or you could just name someone in a will or a trust.
Yes, but the transfer still has to happen. Okay. So the title actually has to be updated with the Secretary of State.
Got it. 312-981-7200. We got more callers. We got more texters. Mike, where can people reach you if they're getting out of the car and can't listen anymore?
Sure. So my number is 630-426-0196. And our website is atclaw.com.
More with Mike Gerban after this on WGN. All right, 720 WGN. Let's get legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Boy, got a lot of texts and calls today. Estate planning always does that. Hey, John, you dropped earlier. You were asking about a brokerage account into the trust or just name a beneficiary. I don't know if you heard Mike's answer, but it seems like you're doing all well, that most IRAs, you just name a beneficiary and you don't roll that into the trust. Does that sum it up well, John and Mike?
Yeah, that's about my advice, is that usually you're not funneling it through the trust, except in certain situations, which is unique to someone's specific case.
You got it, John? Does that make sense?
Hi, guys. Yeah, thanks. So the IRA would be beneficiary specific.
Yes.
And not put in a trust, but the brokerage account would have a beneficiary and be put into the trust.
Well, yeah, the brokerage account, to clarify, is usually retitled in the trust so that the trust is actually like the named owner mm-hmm. of it. So, but that's only for brokerage accounts, not for anything that's sort of a retirement asset.
Yeah. Okay, so rename that into the trust without a beneficiary.
That's usually the case. Again, general advice.
Talk to your lawyer. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Make sure, I'm right. sure you're working with a lawyer. I'm sure they'll work you through it fine. You can always call Mike here if you need a second opinion on it. But it seems like you got good advice there, John.
Okay, good. Thank you, guys.
All right. Sounds good. Janine, she wanted to chime in with something. Is it Janine or Jeannie? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Janine. I went to the Department of Motor Vehicles with all of the proper paperwork, and I was able to not, I didn't have to make an appointment, and it cost $7 to transfer the title.
All right. There you go.
All right.
And it's real quick and easy. If you have all of your paperwork in line, it takes like 3 minutes tops.
I love when the government does something quick and easy, Janine. We got to celebrate those little victories when we get them, huh?
Yeah, and they were really nice, too. So have a good day.
Look at that. All right, Janine. Nice endorsement. All right, let's go to Matt. Matt, you got a question regarding Medicaid, huh?
Yes. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I have a 70-year-old sister who's been taking care of her husband for the last 11 years. He had a stroke. A year and a half ago, she came down with ALS.
Oh,
they
no.
both now are homebound and are going to require 24-hour care, and it's at the cost of whatever, we know how that is, $8,000 to $10,000 a month. They're trying to, the children have been helping. Two of their kids moved in with them to help, but they're trying to save their home and all their assets because Medicare, someone they spoke with, had told them they may end up having to give, you know, give up everything if they have to go on Medicaid. Is there any way out? Pretty desperate situation.
Well, one thing that you mentioned that is sometimes available is that there's something that's called the transfer to caregiver child exception, that basically if you have a caregiver child who lives with you for the last 2 years and is taking care of you, you can actually transfer the house to that caregiving child, and it's free from claims of Medicaid.
Oh, wow.
Well, their son and daughter have been living there for the last 6 months taking care since my sister with ALS got worse.
Okay.
She now, they both need. But they, someone told them that there's a 5-year window.
Yeah, so that, generally so Medicaid has a 5-year look back period that prevents people from basically giving away their assets so that way they can qualify for Medicaid. So if
right.
You, if
so
you,
would that be the case here because their son has been taking care of them less than 2 years?
Yeah, so that would be subject to the 5-year look back period. So yeah, if he hadn't met the 2-year requirement, then they can't just gift it without penalty.
So can they continue to take care for 18 months and then at that point that triggers that 2-year window and something can happen? I don't know if they can wait that long, but
they could, as long as they're not applying for Medicaid in that time. So if that means they're privately paying at whatever type of care that they're getting.
And that's really expensive and troublesome.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, that's a messy situation.
Well, and they've been taking care of their parents, you know, for more than 2 years, but they haven't lived in the home you know, it's been 6 months.
Last it's got to be a, they, it's got to be a live-in situation, Mike.
Yeah, and you got to have proof of it too. Like, you need to have like show that your driver's license or your tax returns has that address on it. That's the same as the parents.
So it's not just like spend a couple nights there a month. You have to live there.
Yeah, you need proof of it too.
Matt, I'm gonna I'm gonna have Mike read his number again because we got a couple other calls I want to get to, and they can always follow up with they can always follow up with Mike at 630-426-0196. 630-426-0196. I know you'd be happy to chat with folks, right? Look through that sort of stuff because, you know, this stuff gets a little bit messy. Let's go to Christine. Hey, Christine, you're on WGN.
Hello there. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I have an odd question.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three children. We're all in my mom's will. What happens if mom passes away and I don't have a copy of her will and my sister is executive of the estate and say that sibling doesn't get along with each other?
Uh-huh. Are you wondering, does she have the power to basically hurt you and not give you what you're entitled to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
I
don't have a copy. For some reason, my mom does not want to give it out to each of us, probably because we'll hurt each other. I don't know.
Mom knows, I think, what she's doing there.
Yeah, I know.
you must encounter this a lot, Mike.
Sure. And so something that a lot of people don't know is that under Illinois law, whoever is in possession of the original will after someone dies is required to file it within 30 days of death. That's the law that says you have to file the original will, and there's penalties if you don't. So some people think that they can just hold on to the will and never disclose it to anybody, but that's actually
illegal.
Yes, that's correct.
So the executor here, her sister, should file it upon death.
Upon death, yes.
And, I mean, Christine, are you really saying, like, you're concerned she might, like, change something you or?
Well, not change. Like, I won't get a copy of the will. Like, I keep asking my mom, and she's like, I will, but she doesn't. She said we're all getting the third, but for some reason, she won't give it to you.
To follow up, Mike, is Christine entitled to it or no, by law?
Well, by law, it has to be filed after death. So you're entitled to see it because that's public record.
After death. Right now, mom can say and kick the can, and that is bad for Christine because she doesn't know, but no laws are being broken there.
Correct. Everybody's entitled to privacy, like, during their lifetime. They're not required to disclose copies of any of their documents during their life.
Is that, where should wills live in general, even before death? Like, should there be one in the, safety deposit boxes probably aren't the answer because you might need a power of attorney to get in one of those. Like, should a lawyer have one? Do you file one with the state? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's a lot of schools of thought out there. Some people prefer to keep them in their house, like in their file cabinets and stuff. The danger there is, like, fire or flood damages it because you need the original will. Some attorneys will hold them at their safe in their office and give clients copy. Others will keep it in the safety deposit box. But the issue with safety deposit box at a bank is, how do you get it if something happens to you? So you need to have, someone else's name has to be on that, or someone has to have the key to it in order to gain access to it.
Okay.
Problem is, my sister's got the copy, and my mom's her attorney, but I don't even know who my mom's attorney is that is handling it.
Yeah. That's a messy situation, Christine.
Isn't it?
I kind of want you to keep us posted. hopefully your mom lives a long, 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 long time. I'm not saying that, but like...
She's 86 and in heart failure. That's what's scaring me. She said I can buy the house, but I get everything in the house, but I'm like, well, if I don't have a copy of the will, mom, I'm like, I don't know what my, you know...
Well, just know that if the your sister's going to be legally obligated to present it, what's in the will... I doubt your mom's lying to you about a third. I don't know for sure. And
I don't think that's the problem.
Yeah. I just know that there is a mechanism in which she's going to legally have to report it, at which point you're going to find out exactly what's inside of it. Okay?
Yeah, I'll let you guys know. Thank you so
much
for taking my call.
Yeah. And if anything messes around there, you call me. Okay? We can have a glass of wine over it. That's Christine. Mike, we're out of time, and we have a bazillion more texts and calls to get to. Come back again, okay?
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Mike Drabant. Whoa, I messed that up. Oh, man, I had it right all show long, Mike. 630-426-0196, correct?
That's right.
And the website one more time?
Is atclaw.com.
Everyone can call Mike on Monday. Sorry, your phone line is going to go crazy, all right?
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We got news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We got another Mike coming on in the 2 o'clock hour, and a Patrick. We'll throw them all in the mixer after this on WGN.